Bloomington schools have been deficit spending for years in the hope that state funding will eventually catch up and allow stability. That has mostly been a fruitless hope. Another annual exercise District 87 goes through are annual layoff notices, some of which stick, some of which don't. GLT correspondent Brianna Groh talks with Superintendent Barry Riley about this year's 17 job cut announcements.
When you think about part-time employees in particular, and we had a number of those folks who are on the reduction in force list, if you do not place those folks on a RIF list, you basically have to guarantee them the same amount of time that you had, at least the same amount of time next year that you have this year. And given that that's an unknown, first of all, that we may have that need, and second, that we've been in deficit for the past several years in our education fund, which is the fund that funds our classroom teachers, it makes perfect financial sense to put those individuals on the RIF list. If we were in better times and we did not have ongoing structural deficits, we might do something different. In other words, we might be willing to risk having a sense of being overstaffed if things didn't pan out the way we had thought. But we're not in that position right now. And even though I was pleased to see a small number of people that were on that reduction in force list, it's still very personal to those folks involved because there's some very good teachers that are on that list. And the risk we have is that they're not, in all cases, going to wait around for a phone call from us to see whether or not they're going to return. If they need full-time status or they need at least a part-time job for certain, they may not be waiting around for us to make that call. And that's the hard part for us because we'll lose some good people.
And just to be clear, so reduction in force doesn't mean that these people have lost their jobs. Is it sort of like putting them on a waiting list or just on temporary hold?
No, it does mean that they have lost their jobs. However, it's not unusual for us to call them and say, hey, we now are in a position where we will have this position. And since you did a good job for us, we want you back. And that's not unusual. We do have that happen almost every year since I've been here. And it will not surprise me that we'll be able to do that again in some of these cases. I'm not anticipating that we'll be able to do it in all necessarily, but certainly in some, I expect that we'll be able to do that.
Is this a larger reduction in force this year? What does that trend look like, if there is a trend?
No, it's not. We've been very fortunate, even though we're facing these ongoing deficits, to be able to not reduce our staff. Over time, there will become a point in time where we will not be able to continue doing that. One of two things is going to have to happen. We are either going to have to go through some drastic reductions to close our budget gap, or we're going to have to find additional revenues. And right now, the revenues are not very strong. They're not growing. So I don't know what that will look like in the near future, but that's something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on and pay attention to.
The district still hasn't passed its calendar for the 2019-2020 year. You're waiting on some state legislation to be decided on. What could change with the proposed legislation?
Yeah, there's a couple of bills out there that address the length of time that students have to be in attendance. Things changed from the prior year such that we used to have 173 days of actual student attendance, and now you have to have 176. So we had to build a calendar that reflected 176 days of actual student attendance instead of 173. What you saw tonight presented were, to get to those three extra days, were three teacher institute days that have partial student attendance on those days that are in the calendar in, I think, November, March, and February. And right now, there are bills that are floating out there that are addressing how long students have to be in attendance, and we're just not sure where that's going to land. So the calendar as it stands is fine for us to continue to move forward. Those logistics of how long a student may have to attend on those particular days, not a big deal right now. Obviously, we'd have to communicate that somewhere down the road to our parents. But what's important is we really want to get a calendar out to the community. Unit 5's already done that. There are folks out there that are waiting. planning trips, whatever the case may be, whether that's in August, December, around spring break. And we want to make sure they have those dates ready to roll. So I anticipate after presenting it tonight, we'll bring it back to our April board meeting and ask for the board to approve that in April. Fundamentally, I don't expect any changes whatsoever, but if there were, substantially, there will not be much of any. So I think families can look at that calendar as it's proposed and be very confident that that's what they should expect for the 1920 school year.
That's Dr. Barry Riley, Superintendent of District 87. I'm Brianna Groh. One of the things that is included in the calendar is the district's emergency days. This past couple of months, the district had piloted alternative learning days. Is that something that could be affected by this legislation for actual requirements for when students are face-to-face with teachers? And how will you work around that?
Yes, it can and will have an impact. In fact, that's part of the bill or both bills that I've referenced have specific references to what they call e-learning days in the bill, and that we call it alternative learning days. They're one and the same as far as the law will be concerned. Yes, that will have an impact. Right now, what we've done is we've taken, if you recall, we did a survey of our parents, our students, our staff. We have a lot of great information come back to us. Both positive things and challenges that families faced, challenges that our teachers faced, positives that our teachers saw, same thing with kids. I'm putting a group together consisting of teachers that represent the various levels across the district, as well as some principals, to take all of that information and begin to work on what will a high-quality alternative learning day look like for District 87 as we move into the future. That group, it will take some time to do that because that legislation has yet to unfold. It's not that they can't meet. They will, and we'll get that group going here shortly. But they're going to have to keep in mind that the law could change and affect what they're going to do. But we think it's important to get all those minds together to come up with the best practices, because we had a lot of neat things that happened on those days. Not that it wasn't without challenges, because it was. But we think that we can do those very well and really do a good job when we have those bad weather days, which for us, really, this year was more of an anomaly. For us to have two, we had three. It was a lot. We can go 5 years and not have any. But we want to plan for those, so in the future, should the need arise, we can utilize those instead of putting kids at risk.
District 87 School Superintendent Barry Riley speaking with GLT correspondent Brianna Groh.